It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Sup.
What's up? And joining us from the beautiful, wonderful home state of Vice President Joe Biden, Delaware. I'm not talking about Vice President Joe Biden, unfortunately. I am talking about, or I guess fortunately, because we have our writer, Corinne Landry, joining us. Hello, Corinne.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I'm not Joe.
It's okay.
I'm sorry that Dakota set you up like that.
I know. I feel bad.
Extremely exciting. And I don't know that I really want to know Joe Biden's opinions about baseball. So
maybe not. Yeah, I don't know. But I'm happy to have Corinne here, I suppose. You know, I was just thinking about this. The last time that you and I talked, the Chicago Cubs were in the midst of a 108-year curse in which they had not won the World Series. Mm-hmm. Now, we're recording this on Friday, and it turns out that they won the World Series! The Chicago Cubs won the World Series. It's funny because, like, they were obviously the best team in baseball. I think going into the year, everybody kind of thought that they were one of the favorites to win the World Series, and yet here we are, they've done it. And it's still shocking and unbelievable. I don't know. What do you guys... That is a terrible question. What do you think about that? But, like, how excited are you? Is this, like, a big deal to you?
It's got to be a big deal to everyone who follows any kind of sport narrative. Because it's even though... Because also, you know, just because they were the best team in baseball doesn't mean that they're a shoo-in to win the World Series. We've seen that happen many times.
Right.
Where it, just because you have this 100-win-plus record doesn't necessarily mean you even make it to the World Series. So the fact that that actually happened is insane enough, right? Mm-hmm. And then it really is just amazing. And also, I'm happy to be wrong in my prediction that the world was going to come to an end because we were all just living in a really, really long 90s sports movie.
I know. Oh, there's still time.
Yeah, I guess there's still
Let's
time.
Be
but
honest.
I feel like the credits kind of roll, you know, maybe after the parade. Then the credits will roll, the world will be over.
There's still time.
Aliens
for that.
Will applaud the film and the celestial.
Yeah, Corinne. I mean, are you shocked by it? Are you? I don't know. It's what's the emotion that you? I think most like. What do you feel the most right now?
I mean, shock is definitely way up there. You know, before the postseason started, I was going to win the World Series. I would say, well, the Cubs are the best team, but of course they're not going to win, right? Like, the Cubs can't do that. That's not allowed. It's nice to see not only the Cubs win, but the best team win. It was an exciting series. It was awesome. I mean, what more could you possibly want out of October baseball?
It's true. It's funny, too, because it kind of looked like they weren't going to win, even though, like,
yes.
I don't think I ever, like, quite doubted that they were going to win. I don't know. I always thought that just quality over seven games would win out, and that just I didn't think Cleveland quite had enough to sort of finish them off, but like they were up against the ropes, and like it certainly felt. I'm so happy. I'm so happy for the Cubs. I'm happy for the North Side of Chicago. I'm happy for all of Chicago, obviously. It was such a thrill. I really enjoyed it. I'm still speechless. I just loved it. So, Corinne, what was your favorite moment of the series? There's obviously a lot to choose from. Seven games. But I don't know if there's something that particularly stuck out to you.
For me, it was Rajai Davis's home run in the eighth inning in the seventh game.
Yeah.
You know, coming up to that, like, the game was close. It was going to be a really good game. It looked like the Cubs were going to win. But once he hit that game-tying home run in the eighth inning, you knew however it ended, it was going to be just an absolutely epic Game 7 that we would all remember. So for me, it was really that one moment just stood out beyond all the others.
Yeah, it did elevate it. Because before that, it kind of felt like it was going to be epic just because it was Game 7, but it didn't feel like there was, like, the drama that you sort of associate with, like, a classic baseball game before that. So, yeah, I agree. That definitely, like, upped the stakes of the whole thing. For me personally... I would probably say the David Ross home run, just because, like, David Ross doesn't really hit home runs, and he did it in his final game in the World Series. Like, that's extremely cool, and he's just a good dude, and so it's just nice to see him kind of finish his career on such a high note and such a important game, and, like, it just made me really happy.
Yeah, I bet entire game was just so much fun to watch. Like, I watched it at a bar with my friend, and I walked in and I ordered my drink and looked at the TV and Dexter Fowler hit a home run. Like, that is the order of things that happened. And that was when I was just like, all right, whatever, I'm loaded. We're here now. We're all like on this, we're in this page together. We're all just going to watch it. And that's the start it got off to. And I think that from that moment, really, it just was never less enthralling, yeah. You know? I also did enjoy everyone around me in the eighth inning being like, all right, well, it's over, you know. Cubs are going to win. Like, we're all about to witness history. Because I do think that the Regina Davis home run is the most memorable thing to me as well, because just the way that the room changed,
yeah,
the atmosphere just got so much different in 5 seconds. And that's really the most Cubs thing I can think of. Is that, okay, we're so confident, we're so sure, like, hashtag we are good, whatever.
Right.
And then this moment comes because it was the maximum amount of drama, and it's the only way that it could have possibly been as satisfying as it was, I think, is that there had to be something, one more thing to overcome. Just, like, one more tiny thing.
I'm telling you, these curses, they have to be broken in, like, the most dramatic way you could possibly do it. Yeah. Just always how it seems to turn out. Which Cub are you the happiest for, like, on the team, on the roster? Is there anybody in particular who you're like, I'm just happy that that guy won a World Series? Or, you know, anybody Cubs adjacent?
Well, you do know that my main rooting interest in this series was that Munenori Kawasaki would get a World Series ring. And yes, he did! And he was psyched, and he was in the clubhouse just Snapchatting himself, having an awesome time. He was having fun in the dugout every second. So I'm pretty happy for him.
I'm surprised he wasn't the series MVP, to
yeah,
be honest.
Truly.
I assumed he was a shoo-in for that.
Ridiculous.
Corinne, do you have a Cub that you're particularly thrilled to see hoist the commissioner's trophy?
I'm pretty happy for Jason Hayward. Yeah. I've been a fan of his for forever. He's just so much fun to watch play, and it was hard to see him have such a rough year. So I'm glad that he didn't end up, you know, being the GOAT or anything. He comes away from it with a World Series ring, and I think that's awesome, and I look forward to him coming back next year.
Yeah, I agree. I love how they talked about during the rain delay, because there was a rain delay in the game too. Of course there was. I love them talking about him giving, like, this inspiring clubhouse speech and sort of helping to push them forward toward victory. I thought that was really nice, especially because he had a tough postseason. He had kind of a tough year, and, like, it was good to see that the team kind of rallied around him as, like, a clubhouse leader. And you know, for somebody who's had such an interesting career, it was a positive thing. So I agree completely.
I mean, I will say that the player I identified the most with at any point was Addison Russell, when he said in a post-game interview that he was crying during the rain delay. Yeah. Like, that would have been me constantly.
I was crying during the entire game.
If I was a Major League Baseball player and I was, like, gonna break this century-plus curse, and then someone hit a game-tying home run, yeah, I would have been sobbing on the field. Like, that would have been happening. So that, to me, I felt with Addison. I understood what he was going through.
And Rizzo, during the game, where he was like, I don't know what to do, I'm totally stressed out, and, like, Ross is trying to calm him down, he's like, oh my god. Like, that, it was really, I don't know, because athletes, you always hear them talk about, you know, well, you know, we take it one pitch at a time, one game at a time, all that stuff. And it was really, it felt different in a way to just hear these athletes sort of speak very honestly about their emotions while they play a sport. And, like, I found that extremely refreshing and really relatable. And I think that's part of why, not to get into, like, the business of it, but this was one of the highest World Series games ever. And I think, like, part of the reason why is because you just had this imminently relatable team. And, like, as the game went on, you sort of really started to connect with everyone on the field, not just the Cubs, too, the Indians as well, but just, like, it felt human and personal in a way that sort of grand sporting events don't always feel.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here today still kind of in awe of how amazing that game was, and how it just sort of captured, because I've talked about this with other friends too, about how, like, this, if you need to explain to somebody why you like baseball, this was sort of like the perfect game to show them.
Yeah.
Like, I had people who were watching it with me, and like, it was, you know, people, we talk about this constantly, but we're theater majors, so like a lot of our friends are not particularly interested in sports, but like, they got it in a way, and it was like, oh, yeah. I understand why you love this thing so much. And
yeah.
I think that's one of the things that I loved, is that you kind of always knew that when the Cubs won the World Series, again, still weird to say, it would transcend sports and baseball, but it did, and
it really
feels
has.
That way.
Yeah, I mean, just the bar that I watched it, it's not a sports bar, it has a TV, but people are more likely to go there to watch the debates than a sporting event. That's the kind of place it is.
Okay.
But so when we walked in, there were maybe four of us who were intentionally watching the game, and by the bottom of the eighth, every single person in the bar, mm-hmm. which was substantially filled by that point, was watching this game. And this bar that I've never heard put the sound on for a sporting event ever put on the sound.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, I think a lot of genuine new fans may be coming, like, walking out of from this Game 7, like, having experienced that.
You have to think.
Yeah.
You just have to think. But let's leave the actual game, and let's move into the aftermath of the game, because I think this is one of the things, too, that, like, I really resonated with, and I think, or I guess really resonated with me, was all these stories of, mm-hmm. like, fan moments and things of just the way that fans, specifically Cubs fans, were reacting to this sort of the end of this famous 108-year. I mean, remember, the curse is older than Wrigley Field itself, and Wrigley Field is the second oldest ballpark in baseball.
Yeah.
So like, it's there is a lot of history here, and so to just sort of hear these stories from these fans. I don't know if either of you have a particularly favorite story that came out in the aftermath of the game. Corinne, why don't we start with you?
Well, for me, I'm one of those fans who parents are fans and grandparents are fans, and it's been kind of a family thing for me, is how I got into baseball. So all of the grandparent stories just really touched me. So all the videos, I think my favorite, there was this video with Grandpa was sitting in the chair watching the final out, and he just starts screaming, "They did it, they did it, they did it." And I was like, oh my gosh, I was tearing up watching it. So for me, that kind of generational bonding, you know, grandparents and their grandchildren having this moment together was just so cool and so much fun.
Yeah, that stuff all really got to me, too, because, you know, especially those texts that we have on our site, cup4.com, where you can look at these, but grandparents texting their kids and grandkids, "I'm so happy I lived to see this."
Yeah.
It just, it really, you know, my grandmother is 101. She's not a Cubs fan, she's a Tigers fan, but, like, in her lifetime, you know, like, she has lived that long, and this is the first Cubs World Series victory in her lifetime, and so many people have not lived to see that, you know?
Yeah.
So it just really just got me choked up, all of these grandparents talking about how happy they were that this had happened in their lifetime.
Yeah.
Though my favorite Cubs fan story is on the other side, I guess. The other end of the spectrum is the kids who all came in late for school the next day because the game went so late.
Yeah.
And my favorite, so we have a post on this on the site as well, but kids who wrote their excuses, and so many of them were just like, oh, Cubs.
Just cut. You get it. Teach, you understand.
Yeah, my favorite was the ditto marks. Like, they didn't even take the time to write Cubs. They just wrote, also Cubs. But I think the champion of the kids with their late excuses was the one who wrote, "not feeling well."
Yeah,
which
sure.
is an extreme lie. Just no. But good. But it's nice that you thought you should try to hide the fact that it was really just the Cubs.
You should definitely go to MLB.com/cup4, see the story, because my favorite part is not even just that. It's that it's in chronological order. And so you see at the top, it's like, dentist appointment. I wasn't feeling well.
Yeah.
My mom was late. Like that kind of, and then yeah. somebody writes Cubs, and that clearly, like, sort of, oh, okay, it's okay to write that. And then just everyone else underneath it is just all Cubs. So shout out to children who tried to lie,
yes.
but failed miserably.
Were there parents who thought, like, oh, I guess I should pretend that I didn't let my kids stay up till 1:30 in the morning to watch the Cubs?
First of all, parents, you're a parent, you're listening, you made the right decision to let your child stay up late to watch this game. Do not even feel bad for half a second. Just going to let you know that right now. My favorite was the story out of a guy named Wayne Williams from North Carolina, mm-hmm. who his grandfather was this World War II veteran. also named Wayne, Wayne Sr. And he was just a massive Cubs fan. I think he went to Cubs games when he was sort of first joined the military. And so, like, this was like, this dude was one of the most passionate Cubs fans ever. He has his son, and they would watch the Cubs together. And he passed away in 1980, but before he did, his son sort of made this promise. He was like, when the Cubs go to the World Series, we are going to watch it together. Mm-hmm. So Wayne Jr. now lives in North Carolina. He's however old he is. And he was like, I got to go drive to my father's gravesite in Indiana, which he does. He brings his Cub chair. He brings a W flag. He drives there and he sits with the radio or the TV, whatever he had with him, sits right next to his father's grave and watches the whole game. And I just...
Ugh.
I mean, stuff like that, like... I mean, it gets it sort of like... at why any of us watches sports? Like, mm-hmm. you think about how, like... these people all love the Cubs. And the Cubs were not winners for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it sort of disproves this idea that the reason people watch sports is to watch teams win, right?
Right.
And, like, you know, if that were true, there would be no Cubs fans. And there certainly would be not generations of Cubs fans coming out to sort of spend time together. And so you just think about, like, this guy made this promise to his father, and he felt the need to follow through on it and drove hours and hours and hours to North Carolina to Indiana. I'm from North Carolina. That's not a short drive. And so that really spoke to me of, like, you know, when you think about sports, you think about the people you're with, you think about the other people that you sort of are brought into this community of when you become a fan of a team. And I just, you know, I was thrilled to hear all of these stories from these fans of just, like, you know, not just sort of the older fans, but sort of how they relate to the younger fans, and mm-hmm. like how there's just this whole massive community of Cubs fans coming together for this one great moment. It was really moving. I felt very affected by it. And, you know, I know some Cubs fans, nobody who's, you know, of age to really experience
right.
like heartbreak over years, but it was just great. I couldn't be happier for the Cubs. Yay, Cubs.
Yay, Cubs.
Yay, Cubs. Let's leave the Cubs behind for now. We will come back to them certainly for all of the winter and presumably all of next year.
The rest of history.
Yeah, you know. Rest of history. They'll probably win again next year.
Probably.
And everybody will hate them at that point.
So we have to enjoy this window we have
exactly.
before, like, you know, April starts again. And
remember,
we can...
this team, they're all really young. Rizzo, Bryant,
yes.
Russell, they're all
and
super
young. And under
team
control. They're going to be around forever.
Yeah, so just buckle up, because this may be a heartwarming story now, but they will be the Yankees in like 5 years.
Oh, you just ruined it.
I know. But let's move on here, because there are other teams. I don't know if you're aware of this. There are other teams that have not won the World Series in quite a long time.
Oh, right. Other teams play baseball besides these two, besides Chicago and Cleveland.
Well,
right, I forgot.
Fun fact, one of those teams also hasn't won the World Series in a long time.
Yeah.
So my question to the two of you is, now that the curse of the Billy Goat has been broken, and now that the Cubs are not the automatic answer for the most painful curse, postseason curse in baseball, which drought do you want to see end next? And it doesn't have to be a title drought necessarily, but what weird baseball drought or curse do you hope comes to an end next? Gemma, why don't we start with you?
All right, mine is going to require some time to come true. So it's not going to happen immediately, but I would just like to see this happen. So we're going to need to have, first of all, we're going to need two more expansion teams. All right, that needs to happen. One of those teams goes to Montreal. Okay.
Oh, I see where this is going.
I would like the Expos to have some measure of justice. So some time will pass, and then eventually the new look Montreal Expos will be able to finally win a World Series.
Why? Do you just want two expansion teams for the sake of balance?
Yes, because for the sake of balance, and also because I get really annoyed and confused whenever I continue to think that the Astros are in the National League, and I just want to mix things up. And so it has to be even for me.
Okay.
For me to remember.
Why don't we add two and move the Astros back?
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I accept it. that's what I would like to see.
So you want to see the Expos win?
Yes, because I like fans who have remained faithful for the amount of time they have, and there's still a lot of people who I'm pretty sure are like, yes, I'm an Expos fan, even though you know, maybe that number is dwindling. But still, I think that would be really satisfying for a lot of those people, and I have really enjoyed all of these moments of Cubs fans like basically getting to taste this joy for the first time in their lives. And I would, it would be nice to see old Expos fans get to feel that too.
Yeah. Well, and they'd just be happy to have a team.
Yes. So there'd be so many different layers of happiness that could get packed into that.
Krim, what about you? What curse or drought do you want to see come to a close?
So I really enjoy the curses and the drought. So there's a part of me that's pretty sad right now. Okay. The Cubs finally won and it's gone.
What is? Wait, hang on.
Make me a giant jerk, but it's true nonetheless.
I want to unpack that for a bit. What is it that you find so appealing about the curses?
I really enjoy baseball history, and that's just one of the best ways to connect to history. Is, you know, when you're talking about the Cubs haven't won since 1908, and like how crazy that is, and it just kind of makes it real how long baseball has been a part of Americans' lives. Like, I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And so now that immediate connection to something so long ago is kind of gone. That, and I'm a jerk.
But, you write for Cut 4. That's assumed.
Yeah, we're all jerks.
We're all jerks.
So I'm not really rooting for the Indians to break their curse next, because they're the longest curse now. So I kind of want that 1948 mark to stick around for a little while.
Okay.
So the drought that I'm rooting for to see end is the Dodgers.
Oh. Ah, I like that. I like this a lot.
Yeah, they haven't won since 1988. They're, you know, one of those original teams. They have a ton of, I think they have 6 championships in their history, but it's been closing in on 30 years since they last won. So I'd like to see the World Series at Dodger Stadium. I think that I would really enjoy that a lot. And then, you know, the older streaks get to stay intact and last, and maybe one day be as long as 108 years.
So just if you're a Cleveland fan, I just want you to know that Corinne is actively cheering for you. This is what you say for, theoretically, 40 years.
No, I'm completely on board with this. I want to jump on Corinne's idea here, because over the short term, it has been really frustrating that Clayton Kershaw has not been able to pitch in the World Series,
right.
And I would like to see that happen. And also, I agree that there's something really pleasing about the heft of time behind a team's lack of titles, because this win was really enjoyable. It would have been great for Cleveland as well, just because that they also have that. I'm not saying that now we just need to start working on another 108-year streak. That's cruel. But yeah, I do agree that it makes it a little sweeter.
I think there's like a sort of a carrying capacity where beyond that point, maybe the returns of joy are not quite as high. Mm-hmm. Per year on a on a yearly basis.
Right. Well, so I feel like if we'd gone to 150 for the Cubs, that just, it would have been too much. We would have canceled the show and the writers would have been fired.
That's, right. You know? I don't know. I'm Red Sox fan, so you just take my opinion here with a grain of salt, but I think ending really long droughts is really good, and it should happen often. My choice for this is the Seattle Mariners, never won the World Series. They haven't actually won the pennant, and they also haven't been to the postseason since 2001. Mm-hmm. I just think that, like, I would like to see that team. That team also has like a tremendous history of really incredible players.
Yeah.
So like, it would be nice, because it would be nice. Like, it's fun to sort of, like, the Cubs won the World Series, and now we get to sort of see the reaction from all these other great Cubs that have played through the years. And like, it would be nice to do that as well with the Mariners and just have this whole big Seattle party. I think that would be kind of fun. I also thought the Rangers.
The Mariners were my next one up.
Yeah.
Because I think, if you grew up in the 90s, I feel like all of us kind of became partial Mariners fans just because of how much we loved Ken Griffey Jr.
I would love
to see the Mariners get there someday.
Mariners win, they need to give Ken Griffey Jr. a ring.
I'm still sad that my long shot prediction of a Marlins-Mariners World Series didn't happen, so it could be the Ichiro games.
Ichiro would have sang the national anthem before every game.
Good. Great.
Yeah, that would have been wonderful. I also thought the Rangers are a good choice.
Yeah, the Rangers are on my list, too.
Have a pretty hefty title drought themselves. But apparently we're pro-drought on the Cut 4 Cast, is what I learned. So, especially, not Southern California drought, we're talking title drought. Let us move on from the sadness of droughts and curses. And instead, Corinne, this is your first time on the Cut 4 cast, meaning we have a lot of questions that we have to ask you.
We have to nail down your position on many important and pressing baseball issues.
Yeah, the hot button issues of the day. Mm-hmm. Gemma, I don't know if you have a question.
Yeah, well, we'll start with an easy one that I feel like we've all discussed multiple times. And we all change our minds a lot on this, so you can change your mind on this later. But very first question, just going to throw this one right across the plate for you. What would your walk-up song be if you were a Major League Baseball player?
Okay, so I really am bad at this question.
Oh, no.
Dakota has heard my answer before, so I don't have a good one. What I would want is to be a closer, mm-hmm. and my walk-in music, one time, this would have to be like in the World Series, to be Fanfare for the Common Man.
See, I think this is great.
This is amazing.
I feel like you can only pull it off once. So it would have to be like Game 7 of the World Series. And just, like, the stadium explodes with this, like, brass fanfare as you come in.
I think that you could pull it off every game.
I love this.
I think
this
it's an amazing
answer.
Choice. Yes.
Yes.
Full transparency, I asked Corinne this question in her interview for Cut 4. And I heard that answer, and I was like, yes, this is the correct answer. Like,
it's
I didn't know that
so
this question
good.
Had a correct answer, but that is the correct answer. I've not heard an answer that made me just immediately be like, yes, that's right.
I do think coming in a Game 7 as a closer, that would just be the most cinematic moment of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that would have. Yeah.
Yes.
My God.
This is a really good answer.
It's such a good answer.
And now that people know that you are a walk-up song genius.
Here's sort of one of the big Cut 4 questions as well, is that obviously children can do whatever they want at a baseball stadium. That is fine. Within reason, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't run on the field.
Yes,
but,
yeah,
like, you know,
yes.
If you want to wear the full jersey, whatever, you can do what you want. You're a child. Have fun. Enjoy it. Your childhood does not last forever, so enjoy it. For adults, though, I feel like there are some things that maybe etiquette-wise or should be frowned upon. My personal opinion on this is that adult fans should not bring gloves to the game unless they are seated in, like, really, like, hot territory for foul balls where they come in really quickly or potentially even the outfield if you're sort of in a home run-friendly park. Any other time, like if you're on the upper deck behind home plate or whatever, do not bring a glove. That is silly and dumb, and you're going to carry it everywhere, and you are probably not going to catch a baseball, so you're just holding this stupid glove the whole time. Do you have an opinion on adult fans bringing gloves to the game? Am I wrong?
After Dakota's anti-glove screed over here.
I could go for hours, but I will spare you. Corinne, what do you think?
I think that you're right that it's silly and dumb. However, I'm all for it. I mean,
yay!
Going to a baseball game is fun, and everyone has their own weird things that they do. I keep score whenever I go to a game.
Good for you.
And
yay!
Increasingly, it's silly and dumb. I can pull up any box score anytime I want to. Why am I keeping score at this game? but it's just what I do. And so if some fan just likes to have that glove with them, you know, let them have the glove. Let them enjoy the game however they want to enjoy it.
Do you buy the scorecard at the game, or do you bring scorecards with you?
I bring it. I have a book.
See, now that is what the real...
So legit.
That is, like, the most legit thing.
I keep scores sometimes, but I buy them at the park.
Yeah.
That's...
I can't stop. It's just kind of what... How I watch the game is just sitting there with my scorebook open.
I love that. I think that's great. I also am glad that you're in the bring a glove if you want to park, because I have come over to that side.
Whatever.
Because whatever, you know, also sure, maybe you're sitting in the upperest of upper decks, whatever, but maybe you went to BP, you want to catch some BP homers.
Oh,
go,
that's fine.
Whatever.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, just the people who need the glove with them, because it's like, oh, I've always brought my glove to the game. No.
You just made it sound nice, though. Like, oh, my childhood, I brought the glove. I used to go with my grandfather's
game.
We would bring gloves. And it was so nice. And now you just ruined that person's tradition.
There are some places that you are not going to catch a ball. And if you're not showing up early enough for BP, you have no reason to have the glove. I went to a game at Citi Field once with my brother and a friend of his. And it was like Father's Day. And we got there like really late. And so we did not really have a pick of seats. And we literally had the worst seat in Citi Field. It's like the upper deck, farthest from the back, by like where the traveling scores are out in left field.
Yeah.
Like way, like you couldn't, like it was just.
I've sat up there.
If I had had a glove, I would have felt so ridiculous.
But you could have caught a t-shirt that Mr. Met shot up there.
No, I could not, because Mr. Met's not shooting a t-shirt up there.
Yes, he always goes up there.
No.
I don't think you have enough faith in
also,
Mr.
Also, I can
Matt.
Catch a t-shirt with my hand. I don't need a glove to catch a t-shirt.
That's true.
That is, whatever, you're wrong.
I think you're just very upset about how much other people carry around, and that's silly. Anyway, Corinne, I have a question for you. this is from a previous Cut Forecast. We all have different opinions on this, but this is one of our very first Cut Forecast questions, which is, if you had to take a road trip with any Major League Baseball player, who would you take a road trip with?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. Who would I take a road trip with?
We initially discussed this based on whether or not any of us would take a road trip with Nick Swisher.
Yeah, which the answer was
no. I would
no.
not. I would absolutely not.
Not to hate on Nick Swisher. I love Nick Swisher. Do not want to be in a car with Nick Swisher
no,
for like 8 hours.
I couldn't handle that. That's too much energy for me.
So the question is then, like, who would be, like, a good radio partner? Who do you think has a decent taste in music, et cetera? I don't even remember what we said or no. how I would react to this now, but...
I know my answer. My answer now is absolutely Mookie Betts. Because, like, he'll talk, and he has good taste in music, whatever, but then, like, he'll also have no problem just sort of sitting in silence while we drive.
Yeah, I think I had initially had said something about David Price, but then we asked him this question, Cut 4 interview from forever ago. It's on our site somewhere. But he enjoys listening to the song Clocks by Coldplay while driving, like, a lot. And I was like, I don't know. That might change how I feel about road tripping with an otherwise super awesome person, David Price. So that's the question.
So, yeah, Corinne, who you got?
So, well, I've got kind of my World Series goggles on a little bit.
That's all right.
I'm thinking about those guys. I think I'd like to go on a road trip with Anthony Rizzo.
Yes.
He seems really chill and just, mm-hmm. like, a really nice guy. You know, he would be really, like, easy to hang out with in the car, I think.
Yeah, friend of Cut 4.
Friend of Anthony Cut 4. Rizzo. He's all right to be in a car with.
Yeah, Gemma interviewed him.
in a car,
somewhere
actually.
On our site, you can find this, mlb.com/Cut4. Gemma spent the day interviewing Anthony Rizzo.
In a car.
In a car.
Specifically, yes.
So you can attest that it was a pleasant experience.
It was.
Good.
Though, here's another question. Quick, I'm going to sneak this in before Dakota's, that Anthony Rizzo also had a kind of a controversial answer to. Deep dish pizza. Is it pizza?
No.
You agree with Anthony Rizzo? You guys would clearly be best friends.
Okay.
Great. All right. I'm glad we established that.
That's not the question. The question is, do you enjoy Chicago-style pizza? That's the better question.
I would prefer regular pizza. Like, if I'm going to eat pizza, I want actual pizza, not deep dish weirdness. No.
I appreciate you pivoting to the question you wanted to answer like a politician, but we do hard interviews here on the Cut 4 Cast. So I'm going to hold you to it. Do you enjoy eating Chicago style pizza?
I would enjoy it. Yes.
There we go.
I mean, at the end of the day, what's not to enjoy? It's all good ingredients, but give me real pizza.
No, but I like real pizza. I like Chicago pizza. They're both delicious. I will agree. It's not pizza. It's something else, but that's something else is delicious. Okay, here's a question. Well, who is your favorite Met? Now, okay, I'm going to preface this by saying that, Corinne, you grew up in the Philadelphia area. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I'm going to rule out the Fanatic for the purposes of this question.
Oh.
Who is the best mascot in Major League, or who's your favorite mascot in Major League Baseball?
The Fanatic. I refuse you throwing it out. It's the Fanatic. How could I possibly say anything other than the greatest mascot in sports? I mean, there's no question. It's the Fanatic.
I also think the Fanatic is transcendent, because if you said to me, Gemma, what's your favorite mascot? I'm going to rule out Paws. I'd be like, fine.
Well, first of all, that's harsh on Paws.
Paws, you know I love you. I have a Paws pillow pet. But the Fanatic is just great.
He's the best. He's just amazing. I mean, growing up, going to the Phillies games in the 90s, the team was awful. You know, I sat through some really terrible games. But the Fanatic was always there to, like, make it fun and enjoyable, and he never disappoints.
That's
Fanatic,
true.
Hands down, the best.
Chase Utley came and went. The Fanatic is forever. That is true. Who's the second best mascot, then? Let me put it that way.
I would annoy Philadelphia fans with this, but I actually really like Mr. Met.
Mr. Met is great.
Mr. Met is... he gets it done. I enjoy his stupid big baseball head. He's a lot of fun.
I will say, Gemma and I think Mrs. Met is better than Mr. Met.
It's true. We do.
Gemma's friends with Mr. Met, it should be noted. But I think Mrs. Met is superior to Mr. Met.
I do love Mrs. Met.
she has like a really chill thing going on, like at Citi Field. Like she seems like she knows how to enjoy a baseball game.
That's true.
You go ahead.
All right. Question for me. We've all also answered this question, and we are all liars whenever we answer it. The question is, if you had to play a position in baseball, what would it be? None of us are even remotely acceptable athletes, so that's no. just out there.
Yeah, no, we're not. Yeah. We're bad. But if you had to play.
Yes, what would your position
by
be?
By law.
Well, I played softball in high school, and it was terrible, but I loved it. And I was a third baseman.
Oh.
Most of that time, and I loved it. I loved, you don't have to run real far, you know, it's all just reactions. I would hate the outfield. And I liked, at that time, like, thinking about playing the same position as Scott Rolen or Mike Schmidt, you know, growing up in the Philadelphia area. So for me, third base was where it was at.
That's great.
That's great. I like that a lot.
I would melt down if a ball was hit toward me in the hot corner.
I mean,
I don't play third base.
I could play no position. We all answered various things that we would all be terrible at, but you were, you know, you really played third base, so I accept this answer.
Yeah,
true.
You played third base yes. at a higher level than I did most athletics, which
agreed.
Is high school. So. What is your favorite food to get at the ballpark?
Cheesesteak. Sorry, that's kind of a...
Yeah, well,
stadium
gee, I wonder which stadium but... you should go to get that.
What's that?
I was just joking about the Citizens Bank having delicious cheesesteaks.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
You're Philly
yeah.
through and through.
Yeah.
You really are. What? I know, okay, so this will be the last question, but you obviously have some hot takes about uniforms. This is one of the things that our listeners will eventually know more about as we do more of these cut forecasts with you. But what is your favorite uniform in Major League Baseball?
Hands down, the best uniform in Major League Baseball is the Tigers home whites.
Oh, what a great, correct answer.
Wow.
It's so true, though. Tell us what you like about the amazing Tigers home whites with the crisp Old English D.
The D is amazing. Like I said, I'm into the history, so it kind of connects, makes you feel like baseball's been around for forever, and you're watching the same or similar, at least, uniforms to what your grandparents watched. I'm really a big fan of the of piping on jerseys. Mm-hmm. So like the solid navy blue pipes down the center, I think, just like add this extra layer of crispness to them. They're perfect. They're amazing. The hat meshes with it perfectly. It cannot be topped, I don't think. I don't think there's a way to be better than those uniforms.
Wow. What I love this answer more than words can say.
Really, I thought you might like that one.
Really playing to the crowd there.
Corinne is the best cut four writer now. Just she's shot to the top. I'm not even the best. Corinne is the best now.
Well, it has come time for us to sum up the podcast in 140 characters, one tweet that adequately and accurately, most of the time not adequately, let's be honest, and accurately sums up our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Corinne, this is your first time on the Cut Forecast, so I will ask you to go first.
That's very cruel.
It's extremely cruel. Give us your Twitter recap of the Cut Forecast.
Okay, so... To tweet this out, you'd say the Rajai Davis's homer. Rajai Davis's homer was the best thing in baseball without the fanatic. # baseball.
I like the # baseball.
I like # baseball too.
That is good. Make sure that all the people who like baseball can see the tweet.
That's very,
very
good.
Important.
That's very good.
Gemma, why don't you go next? Because I'm in charge.
Yeah, no, I know. I figured that would be the case. Okay. Okay. Best story in sports right now equals Cubs win World Series. Best uniform in baseball according to @CorinneLandry. Tigers home whites. # go Tigers.
Muted. Muted. Also, that's not Corinne's handle. Corinne, what is your Twitter handle? Let us know.
It is Crash Landry.
Yes.
So. There is an E in my name. LANDRY.
See? Look at that.
So I would have to edit the tweet, and then I would add a hashtag. I deleted it, I retweeted it.
Doesn't know how to use Twitter.
And then I'm really bad at Twitter. You guys should not follow me at Gemma. I'm really bad at Twitter.
Don't follow Gemma.
But I would add, I would reply to myself, and I would just have the tongue sticking out emoji at Dakota Gardner.
That's terrible. My tweet is, OMG, the Cubs actually did it. I don't even know what else we're supposed to talk about on the hashtag CubForecast.
Is there, like, was there, like, two rows of ellipses for those pauses?
Yes, there were.
I don't even know what else we're supposed to talk about. Form equals content. Ellipses, ellipses, ellipses.
Form equals content. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately summarizes our podcast, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag CutForecast. We will retweet the best ones. You can read all of our content at mlb.com/cut4. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. This is a podcast. You're probably aware of that. And you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're getting your podcasts from. I personally use iTunes. You do you. But if you do use iTunes to get your podcasts, please write us a review. And if you actually leave a rating, 1 to 5 stars, we can see that. And if you write the review, we will read it here on this here Cut4Cast. That is my personal promise to you. That's the Dakota Gardner guarantee. Corinne, thank you so much for indulging us in all of our very invasive baseball questions.
Thanks so much. This was a lot of fun.
Good. We will have you back, certainly. We will have you back. You passed the audition. Gemma, thank you for, I don't know, sitting here.
Yep, that's all I did. Just sat here.
It's the end of the season. There's no more baseball. There is no more baseball until 2017. So we will be here through the offseason. You can keep listening to this podcast. We will come out and try to make it through the cold, dark winter months together. We'll huddle with jackets around the hot stove and try to make it through. So we will be your guide to the offseason. But mostly, I want to thank you for listening. It was an incredible season. The Cubs won the World Series. We will see you next season, and we will talk to you next week.